critical analysis of contentions and misconceptions regarding the concept of jihad, the Islamic law of war and peace, and the spread of Islam. I am your host, Muhammad Nuruddin Lemo, and with me to discuss today's topic are two of our distinguished facilitators, fellows of the Da'awah Institute here in the Islamic Education Trust, Brother Nasir Bello and Brother Ibrahim Bello. You are both most welcome. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
We have looked in the last couple of series into the seerah of the Prophet, the biography of the Prophet, to look at the battles the Prophet was engaged in, with a view of understanding how the Prophet and his companions understood the relevant verses of the Quran and the Hadith related to military forms of jihad, fighting, fi sabilillah. And we have tried to understand, is there really any evidence to suggest that any of these battles were offensive, hostile, aggressive, initiated against peaceful others? Is there any evidence that any of these battles were fought to force people to accept Islam? We've gone through an overview of the Ghazawat, and we've looked at the various meanings of the term and have concluded, as historians have, that of all the Ghazawat at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, only 9 of them were there any military engagement and some degree of fighting.
No.
We've done an overview of some of these, briefly touching on them. In this series, I'd like us to go more slowly on the Battle of Badr, what you'd call historically the first one, and also look at the Battle of Uhud, where we would go a little bit into details to understand the justifications. Why was this battle fought? Or if we look at Uhud also, why were these battles fought? What was the justification? What led to them? With a view of arriving at some conclusions regarding the justification for warfare in Islam. I'd like to start with a quick overview. What were these battles, Brother Ibrahim? And if you were to give one sentence why they were fought by way of a synopsis before we go into details, what would you say?
As you mentioned, after careful study of all the Ghazawat, the outings the Prophet ﷺ did, either for Hajj or for peace talk or in search of enemy and all of that, scholars have concluded that only in 9 that there was physical combat where the Prophet ﷺ took part. And they include Badr, the second year after Hijrah, Uhud, the third year after Hijrah, Khandaq, which came a year after that, and then his conflict with Banu Qurayza, who betrayed their terms of treaty, and then Banu Mustalik, Khaybar, and then the conquest of Makkah. And along with conquest of Makkah came his encounter with the Ta'if and Hunayn. So basically these 9 were the main ones that the Prophet was actually part of. And of all these 9, yeah, apart from Makkah, there was a little control of somebody who wanted to break out the real battle and what have you. But most of them actually, Fatu Makkah was not really a fighting as such, but let's consider it.
We'll
so it was only in these 9, and we're going to take slowly, like you say, that there was fighting. And for all of these, there were justifications, the why, and who were the targets, which we're going to look holistically in detail one after the other. But I tell you, for all of them, they were defensive. And in fact, there were justifications why the Prophet had to fight them.
This is something I'd like us to move into more detail. So let's start with the first one, the Battle of Badr. Malan Nasir, what started the problem? What led to the Battle of Badr?
I think when discussing the Battle of Badr, which happens 2 years after Hijrah, after migration of Rasul to Medina, we need to go back to the very beginning when the message of Islam began. Assuming Rasul, when he started the call, he wasn't attacked, there was no any persecution, there was this freedom for whoever wants to accept Islam, accept, whoever wants to remain a pagan, be what you
no
want.
No compulsion.
No compulsion. I think we would have been talking about something different. But the experience, what they went through, was entirely the opposite. And that was where the problem began. That was when the enmity between the pagans, the kuffar of Mecca, and the Muslims started. Muslims went through hardship. They were killed, they were maimed. Properties were confiscated by the pagans of Mecca. They had to hide sometimes for them to worship. That was what brings about this Darul Arqam, where they hide house of one of the Muslims for them to worship Allah. In fact, it went to a level where some of the weaker companions, some that don't have, you know, relatives that are powerful, that will protect them, had to migrate to Abyssinia, just for them to have some ease and relief. Abyssinia is a non-Muslim country, but because of the level of persecution and oppression that they were subjected to by their fellow, you know, Arabs that are pagans, just because they believe, was so difficult that they had to migrate. And even when they migrated, the pagans of Mecca had to send emissaries to Abyssinia to go and convince the king there to send them back into the persecution. And that's not just the companions. Even Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam went through difficulties. I mean, there are times when they will come to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam asking him, can't you pray for us? Can't you seek for Allah's help for us? The operation is just too much. It's unbearable. And the Quran will tell you about when Rasul and those who believe with him are saying, mata nasrullah. Looking forward, yearning for Allah's help, Allah's intervention because of the hardship and the operation they were going through. Attempts were made on several occasions to assassinate Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To a point when it became so severe and Muslims decided to migrate to Medina. Even when they were migrating, another attempt to try to stop them. Some were actually prevented from migrating. Their properties were confiscated because they were migrating. In fact, even Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to hide because there were booty, you know, hunters that were actually, you know, money was on his head. That money, or we say she-goats, 100 she-goats actually were...
100 camels.
100 camels actually were on his head. Whoever was able to get Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dead or alive. This is just to paint a picture of the background when it comes to relationship and what led to the Battle of Badr. So these Muslims that went through all these difficulties, these Muslims that attempted migrating just to have freedom to worship Allah, to practice their religion, went to Medina, succeeded after all these difficulties to get to Medina. Now they are in Medina. They are trying to nurture a state. They are trying to, you know, develop a society that is all-inclusive. And this kuffar of Mecca were not really at ease. They are worried that this is what we've done to these people. And now if you allow them to become very strong, then they will come and deal with us. Therefore, that operation followed them. And that was what led to the Battle of Badr. That was actually what laid the foundation about that. And that was why, if you look at the Quran, was very clear about that, talking about, you know, the age, the stage, the days of Muslims and their experience in Mecca was basically characterized by persecution and operation from the side of the Quraysh. And of course, patience. That patience and perseverance that you cannot even imagine from the side of the Muslims. So when we come to Medina, when they migrated to Medina, that was actually the foundation. So Kuffar of Mecca, because of their concern that this Muslim society, this Muslim state is gaining influence, is trying to become strong. It's better we crush them before they become strong. That was the idea behind the Battle of Badr. Yes, there are issues of, you know, Muslims now given permission for them to stand for themselves, ending this issue of, you know, kufu idea, kuma aqimu salah, you just be patient, you fold your hands and just pray. So basically, this is the foundation. This is what led to the Battle of Badr. It's about standing for themselves. It's about defending themselves. It's about trying to survive, because the enemy is now out there to conquer them and eliminate them on the face of the earth.
So the picture you have painted, as you said, go back to what we would call Meccan period, was the picture of a Muslim community growing, but gradually going through more and more persecution, not just persecution, torture. Many of them were actually killed in very brutal ways that are too gruesome actually to explain, but women, men, you know, it was very horrible for some. The first martyr, Sumayya, was a woman who was killed in a brutal manner. And this persecution, as you said, carried on with the attempt on the life of the Prophet, peace be upon him, who escaped narrowly.
Several attempts.
Several attempts to kill him. Alhamdulillah, he and Abu Bakr escaped got refuge in Medina. Some escaped to Abyssinia earlier than that. But the picture painted is one where there wasn't a state of peace that the Muslims are now going to break, you know. Because when we look at the Battle of Badr, and I'd be interested in seeing the details there, but what you are showing is it's not that there was peace and then there was Battle of Badr. No, there was already hostilities. We already had a state of war. There was not treaties of peaceful agreements that Muslims were to break. So Muslims moved to Makkah. Allah Ibrahim, could you fill in the gaps?
Yeah. Like he mentioned earlier, a number of things led to when you have compounding, you know, injustice. So part of the things was when Muslims were leaving Makkah, their properties were confiscated by the pagans, leaving them at economic disadvantage. More so, Muslims were very weak that time, but they didn't have freedom to move around the Arabia. The Quraysh, the polytheists continue hunting for, you know, and persecuting Muslims. So Muslims now have to look for a way of how do they recover some of their missing properties. And because Medina is strategic on their way to Syria and the other parts of their trade, Muslims...
The Meccan trade.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So Muslims now thought it wise to intercept one of the caravans as a way of recovering some of their lost property to the Meccans. Such attempt was made several times. And in one attempt, Abu Sufyan, who led the caravan, managed to escape. But he has already alerted Meccans that these people are on their way. This is what they plan. Even when he arrived Makkah safely, he managed to escape. Abu Jahl insisted, okay, let us go and fight. And they prepared 1,000 soldiers. And they marched down to Badr and met Muslims. Of course, most of the elders of Quraysh, some of them were not like comfortable with that. They persuaded Abu Jahl that, look, there is no need for fighting. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also tried to like, we don't need to fight. They only went out to intercept the caravan. And that is why they were not even prepared. They were just few hundred, like 300.
They weren't prepared for a whole battle.
Exactly, they weren't. Even when Quran recounted it, Allah mentioned it. He said, "Kama akhrajaka rabbuka min baytika bilhaqqi wa inna fariqan minal mu'minina lakarihun." As Allah took you out of your home with your followers, even though many Muslims didn't like it was in Ramadan. You know, and Allah said, "Wa idh ya'idukum Allahu ida ta'ifatayn wa tawadduna anna ghayra dhati shawkati takunu lakum." Allah promised you one of the two, and you thought the cheaper one is what you will get, meaning you get it without fight. But Allah wanted a fight because Allah meant to give you victory. So like Muslims were not really prepared, but they were at a point now that between the devil and the deep blue sea, right? These people had sent 1,000 soldiers wanting to fight. So Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam encouraged Muslims. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised he's going to strengthen them. And that is why clans like Adi, Banu Adi and Zuhra were like, they were not okay. They didn't join the fight. So finally, they came, they fought, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Muslim victory over the Quraysh. They suffered loss in the hand of the people they once persecuted and considered to be minority, the people they were hunting, the people they never thought would have that God and strength. So finally, the deed was done, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had victory over the Meccans. A good number of them were held captives, the others flee. And alhamdulillah, that was the end of the Battle of Badr, which was like the first battle, really, in the real sense, between Muslims and the Quraysh.
And I think it must have given the Muslims a very strong sense of independence and a big humiliation to the Quraysh, which were like the major tribe in the region. But I think for the purpose of our own discussion, it's important to underscore the fact that Meccan hostility from the Meccan period, we don't look at just a day or two or a month or so before the battle. No, years before that, Meccan persecution came before Muslim response to that persecution. And once Muslims had enough, and I think this is a natural thing that would happen, if you are persecuting a community and their numbers are increasing day by day, week by week, month by month, they will get to a stage where enough is enough. And they will attack, and they would start with what you call low-hanging fruit, something that is easy. And so Muslims didn't become independent and say, let's go and attack Mecca, but they could definitely attack a caravan of Mecca. But I think also the point you're making that even when the Meccans now set out to defend the caravan, but the caravan had escaped, Abu Sufyan had escaped the threat that was perceived of the Muslims, the Meccans didn't decide, all right, since our caravan is safe, you know, that's it. Some of the tribes, as you mentioned, said, look, we didn't come to fight Muslims, but Abu Jahl convinced others that they do need to crush the Muslims, and they went. And I think it was on that occasion the Prophet actually sent Umar bin Khattab to try and broker peace before the Battle of Badr. But it didn't work, and they fought, and as you said, it ended with Muslim victory. But I think one conclusion here is the Battle of Badr was not offensive, unprovoked battle by the Muslims. It was a response to hostilities and aggression and persecution by the Meccans. After the Battle of Badr, we read of another more serious battle, the Battle of Uhud. Now, the area of Uhud, now for anybody who goes on Hajj or Umrah and wants to visit the site of Uhud, it's just about 2 kilometers from the mosque in Medina. It's, you know, it's not too far away. What created the need for the Battle of Uhud? What was the reasoning behind the justification for the battle?
Okay, just to add a point on the Badr before the Uhud. Just like you mentioned, Badr was to give Muslims independence. And that is why a verse Brother Nasir mentioned earlier came. Allah said, permission is hereby given to those who are being oppressed to fight back. This was actually the verse that instructed Badr. Now with Uhud, Uhud was direct response or reaction to the loss they suffered in Badr. Usually Arabs are those kind of vengeful tribes that they can fight for 20 years.
Honor.
That kind of thing. Honor. So because of the loss they suffered, and they felt humiliated and belittled that this Muslim minority, a handful of, you know, will defeat them, and they lost lives, they lost property, they never forgive. So they went, regroup, and reinforce. And a year later, in Shawwal, Badr took place in Ramadan, the second year. Shawwal of the subsequent year, they marched from Mecca. down to Medina with 3,000 army. You know, an army of 3,000 soldiers and 700 armed to go stamp out.
Like camels.
Exactly, yeah. Camels to go like wipe out Medina. If somebody will march a distance of 450 to 500 kilometers thereabout from his own home to your home, I think that's already showing who is the aggressor. Exactly. Because Uhud, like you mentioned, is at the outskirts of Medina. You know, it's just like Muslims couldn't wait for them to come in, okay, and slay their families and children. So Muslim had no option than to go out and meet them at the outskirts. And that's why it took place right at the outskirts of Medina, called Uhud. So this instance was further aggravated because you have a group of Jews called Banu Qaynuqa. They incited the Quraysh, okay, against Muslims also. So this took place at the outskirts. And so, unfortunately, of course, like it was said, this time around, Muslims suffer some loss. Even though some will say it was 2-2. You know, Muslims lost, but the Muslims that lost their life, they were martyrs. Why the other ones, of course, subhanAllah, like Allah said, هَلْ تَرَبَّصُونَ بِنَا إِلَّا إِهِدَ الْحُسْنَيَيْنِ. You know, for those that are waiting to see what will happen to us as Muslims in the battle, we have one of the two choices. Either we win, we had victory over you, or we die as martyrs. So Muslims suffer loss because of some little, you know, disloyalty. You know, they weren't loyal to Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on a few instances. And as Allah will have it, Muslims had some loss. But the truth is here, Muslims were not aggressors. If somebody will leave his home and march to the front door of your house, and you met him by the door and fought, who actually fought the fight? They were the one. So this one is clearly a case of aggression also. And Muslims had to defend themselves and the families, and that's why it is called, the people that died there are called Shuhada Uhud. You know, for those who go for pilgrimage and visited Medina, there's a site of visitation there.
Burial ground for the exact
cemetery. So this is briefly what happened and led to the Battle of Uhud.
What would you add to this, Malama?
I think it's important to always remember the history, how it began. And even with Badr, as it was clearly mentioned by Brother Ibrahim Bello, the pagan Quraysh that came to rescue their own caravan, even after hearing that it has already escaped, because of this enmity and long time hostility, that it's an opportunity for us to crush them and finish them once and for all, but that happened. Unfortunately for them, even though Muslims were not really ready, because they never thought it's going to be like that, Allah helped Muslims to succeed. So this outcome was not really good for the Kufar, for the pagan, you know, Quraysh. And therefore, when they went back, they prepared a year after to come back with this vengeance to come and conquer the Muslims and finish them once and for all. So it's important for us to link the experience from Badr and how it gave birth to this level of preparation, where it was, you know, reported that over 3,000 camels, they didn't just come alone, the soldiers, but they came together with, you know, their women, you know, chanting, trying to encourage them, trying to sing for them so that at least they will be motivated to finish the Muslims. So that was how they came. In fact, when Abbas, who was actually together with them, uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, saw the level of preparation for them to come and fight the Muslims, he was really worried about his nephew and the future of, Muslims. So he sent a message to Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam warning him about what is really going to happen. So this is the situation that gave birth to Uhud. And that was something that, having heard about this level of preparation and they are already approaching, it became necessary for Muslims to do whatever they can to defend themselves. So this is what actually transpired. If you look at the Meccan period, I think another important lesson here is that you have to weigh, you know, earlier we talked about this issue of defending oneself. You have to weigh whether if you make an effort to defend yourself, you are likely going to succeed or not. If you are likely going to succeed, then it's worth the trial. If you are not going to succeed, by mere looking at the whole situation,
don't start
it's better you don't start. And that was really typical of the Makkah period. And that was why if you look at أُذِنَ لِلَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُونَ بِأَنَّهُمْ ظُلِمُوا. Now Allah is saying that you are strong enough, you are capable.
Permission is now given.
Permission is now granted unto you because you are now having some, you know, ability for you to defend yourself. So if you look at this carefully, you will now understand that even when it comes to trying to succeed, sometimes the path to establishing peace and having peaceful coexistence has to follow through battles, through, unfortunately, it is unfortunate, nobody wants that, but sometimes it has to follow through that path for you to have a sustainable peace. You have to show that you are capable of defending yourself. Otherwise, you will continue being subjugated, but with a caveat, like I mentioned at the beginning, that is only possible if you know very well that you are not going to be, you know, eliminated entirely as a people, as a community.
This is interesting. So what you have actually demonstrated is what one would describe as a chain reaction. You know, there's the kind of persecution that happened in Mecca that continued after Muslim migration, and then Muslim increase in strength with no peace building. The reaction to that persecution, which resulted in Badr, but then the defeat. Meccans were not going to just accept that they have been defeated in Badr. And so the reaction to Badr was them wanting vengeance, which led to Uhud. And inshallah, what we will see is the continuation of the chain reaction. How, you know, after Uhud,
what next?
What next? And they didn't succeed in completely, crushing the Muslims or achieving their objectives. At least they felt, okay, we have avenged Badr and those who died at Badr. But inshallah, when we come back again to the next episode, I would like us to look more closely at the next battle, Khandaq, the Battle of the Trench, which again was Meccans now coming in three times or more their numbers to attempt a final blow at Mecca, at Medina, inshallah. Thank you so much for your insights in this justification for the first two battles. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala.